Chapter 17. The orbital lander burned its way through the clouds, surrounding itself with a gusting corona of re-entry. By the time it broke into the open, its flanks were blackened and its retros whining on full power. It reduced speed, banking heavily, to assume a priority approach vector, and then came down over the palace's northern spire zone. Soon it was hovering above a wide landing platform, part of the growing structural embryo that would one day rear many hundreds of stories up into the air and be crowned with racks of battlecruiser-class macro cannons. The lander kicked out a skirt of steam. Once touched down, its stabilizer legs extended, the engines vented, and the shimmering heat haze over its sloped sides gradually dissipated. An access hatch cracked open, and four blank-masked guards descended through the steam, each one wearing dark red robes and carrying a barbed power spear. Finally, the main access ramp hissed open, spilling a rich yellow light across the slush-heaped apron. A lone figure, an old man, shuffled down to ground level, clutching at a long wooden staff as he hobbled. The cowl of his robes was thrown back, exposing a raptor's scrawny head. All present on the stage bowed immediately. The guards, the port sentinels, the menials who had rushed to service the lander's fuel lines, the protocols and customs officials hovering on the edge of the platform with their auto quills and data slates. All but one who bowed to no one but the Emperor. "My Lord Malkador," Valdor said.
"Captain General," the sigillite replied, smiling warmly.
He came up to Valdor and placed a bony hand on his gauntlet.
"It is good to see you, though from the air."
"The damage, yes," said Valdor, withdrawing the gauntlet and ushering Malkador towards an open doorway surmounted with a gilt allegory of unity, an idealized man and woman overshadowed by a benevolent angelic protector.
"We shall speak of it privately."
The two of them went inside, at first shadowed by the robed guards, then, once within the snaking corridors of the immense palace interior, left alone. They ascended through silent and deserted rooms, climbing a twisting well of marble stairways, before finally emerging into a high gallery lined with plundered statuary. The winter light, uncertain still, due to the storm clouds piled up in the west, bled the colour out of the fine tapestries. Through the tall windows, the far peaks could be clearly made out, a wide circlet of stone glowering under turbulent shadow.
"I am pleased to be back," Malkador said, walking over to a polished alwood cabinet and taking a crystal pitcher of water.
He poured himself a glass, offered one to Valdor, then took a sip.
"Luna really is not how I remembered it. There is a horror there still, just as there was in so many places here. The Selenar have made themselves mad, I think."
Valdor nodded.
"Did they receive you in person?" "We are not there yet. Emissaries will be required for the next stage."
"It will not be enough."
"No, I reckon not. Which is why I come back now. How did the Legion perform?"
Valdor's expression was hard to read.
"Well enough," he said. "There are weaknesses, of course, but they will do better next time. Recruitment and training remain taxing." "Then we must redouble our efforts," Malkador said. "Having seen their forces, we will need more than one detachment. Three, I think, should do it."
"We do not yet have three."
"Then we must work harder."
Malkador put the glass down and padded along the gallery, his soft shoes sinking into the carpet as he went.
"Were there contagious in the rebel forces that reached here?"
"A few," said Valdor, walking alongside him.
"So they cling on."
Malkador pursed his dry lips.
"It will be harder to like their replacements, I fear. Still, We are not making them for companionship.
He reached a life-size replica of an ancient Greco-Roman discus thrower, rendered in molecule-perfect facsimile in imperishable stone.
Always he insists on this haste. He wants us to take the gene cults now, construct the fleet now, bring the legions up to full combat readiness now. It is no good trying to tell him how difficult such things are, for he only sees the objective, not the trajectory. That could get us into trouble one day.
High Lord Canderwire was removed from office, Valdor said. Malkador raised an eyebrow.
As in permanently?
She will not be returning.
Ah, a shame. I liked her.
As did I. Malkador smiled, a mix of wry amusement and almost affection.
Really, Constantine? I didn't think you liked anybody.
He glanced back out of the window to where the sun was creeping in broken patches across the far mountainscape.
We shall need a new provost marshal. I'll give it some thought. But now I am forgetting myself. The damage to the senatorum. Tell me all.
Valdor's expression never flickered.
Astarte was given every chance. I held back right until the last. She could have changed course, had she wished to. If I am honest, I still find the concept difficult to process.
As you should, said Malkador. For you, treachery is merely an abstract. If it had been anyone else, Astarte would never have been so indulged. But then he always regarded her highly. What of the repositories?
Destroyed. The vault was scoured, the levels above and below sealed off.
Good, said Malkador,
and started to walk again. His movements were superficially stiff with age, but under the surface retained a certain brusque vigour.
News of that will spread. The many eyes watching us will relax their gaze for just a while. A high price to pay for such brief respite, but there will be compensations. I shall tell him the dungeon may be repurposed now. He will wish to install the gate foundation matrix as soon as possible.
I did not enjoy concealing the truth from my own kind, Valdor said, an element of reproach in his voice for the first time. In the past, the lies were always left to your people.
Malkador laughed.
You'll have to get used to it. More will be necessary.
His crooked smile slowly faded.
If but a hint of it had got out, if any soul outside our circle of steel knew that we had taken copies and lifted them to Luna already, then the remaining caches would have been placed in genuine peril. It had to look real. And as you say, Astarte acted on her own volition. She could have pulled back.
But her name remains on the project documents?
As far as I know. A mild irony. He seems to enjoy those.
Malkador reached the far end of the gallery, where the windows gave out and the panelling darkened under the soft glow of recessed lumens, and his voice lowered.
But there is one further thing, something genuinely unexpected. He now believes that the Legion Primarchs may not have been annihilated after all. He cast his mind upon the ether and found echoes there. He told me he thinks they may be recovered.
Valdor frowned.
It cannot be. I was there. The birthing tanks were destroyed. There was nothing
left to see, just like in our repositories. But perhaps they were not ended. Perhaps they were scattered.
Not possible.
With this enemy, all things are possible.
But if they had them in their power, why not destroy them?
Because they couldn't. Even to reach into that chamber must have tested them beyond endurance. Or perhaps they acted for some other reason, constrained by rules of their own. They enjoy games, it is said.
Valdor held Malkador's gaze for a long time.
There were no new generals, he murmured to himself. You seem almost disappointed.
Of course not.
Come, my friend, this is good news. The crusade would be immensely speeded were we to recover what was lost that night. Imagine it, the legions reunited with their primogenitors just as was always intended.
Valdor said nothing for a while, though his brow remained furrowed. When he finally replied, his voice was thoughtful.
I remember when I carried those vials from the flames, he said. I remember feeling the life flicker within the glass. And after that, I remember seeing the first of them emerge from the amniotic units, glistening like infants. And then, later, I watched them increase in number, be given their weapons and trained to use them. I saw all these things, and I said nothing. And yet Astarte, who knew them best of all, believed them so dangerous without their primarchs that she tried to destroy them all.
Malkador looked at him seriously.
What are you saying, Constantine?
That if the primogenitors were truly scattered, can it be wisdom for us to seek them out? Should they not be left where they are, destroyed? If they live, they will have the touch of their captors on them.
Malkador nodded.
A risk. But we did not get where we are now without taking risks.
He reached out and clapped Valdor's arm.
We shall speak of this again. You shall speak of this with him, too, when he returns. Hone your arguments. I judge that he is determined to hunt for them. He has taken to referring to them as his sons. Can you imagine that? Neither could I, until I heard it from his own lips. There might even be some lingering attachment there, though how long it will last I cannot say.
Valdor hesitated.
Then his human sentiments, they are still ebbing.
As he predicted, all things have their price.
At that, Valdor remembered what Candawai had said, huddled against the cold, as her dreams were dashed from her.
You let these things run loose now, you will not be able to rein them in later. Every step, in every direction, is hedged with danger, Valdor said darkly.
Malkador looked amused again.
That has always been the promise. Do not tell me you regret it, or I might begin to doubt your commitment to the cause.
If he had expected Valdor to be angered by that, he was disappointed. The Captain General merely turned away, sweeping his long cloak about him and walking back along the gallery, leaving the sigillite behind him in the shadows.
How could you doubt that? He said,
speaking as if to no one in particular, or perhaps to someone who was no longer present.
The cause is literally all I have. I can only hope, if we set out on this new course now, that we can say the same for these sons.
After an indeterminate period of induced coma, Simonas woke again into a world of excruciation. Once conscious, it took him some time to recover his senses. At first, there was only the agony, flaring down every nerve and making his skin feel ripped up with hooks. After a while, he managed to control that, using the techniques taught by the Order, and his surroundings settled into a blurred mask of just tolerable pain. He was in a Medicai unit within the tower, one he recognized from previous periods of post-battle convalescence. The walls were scrubbed clean and unadorned. Apothecarian drones clicked and whirred, running burbling fluids through their boxy innards. A few tower menials busied themselves in the background, measuring samples and preparing solutions. Simonas watched them work, his eyes half-lidded, his battered body static on the metal cot. That was all he was capable of doing for a long time. And then, just as he felt some strength beginning to twitch again in his prone limbs, the menials disappeared. The drones withdrew on their clattering rack mounts, then shut down. The doors at the far end of the unit slid open, and his master entered. Simonas summoned up his reserves, steeling himself for censure. As it was, the Captain General's bearing did not seem especially dark. If anything, he seemed more at ease than when they had last spoken in person.
"Recovering?" Valdor asked, coming to stand near the head of the cot.
Simonas couldn't move his neck yet, but managed to swallow thickly.
"I believe so," he said.
"The body, surely. It takes more than flame to end that. But the mind, the spirit..."
"Acceptable."
"You were charged with defending the Senatorum."
Simonas felt the cold sliver of guilt strike right at his heart. There was no getting away from it.
"Yes," he said. "The failure was mine."
"No, not really."
Valdor let the flicker of a half-smile play across his austere features.
"You wish to act sooner. I countermanded that. No blame attaches to your actions. Your role was not, as you supposed, to prevent her from reaching the dungeon. It was to prevent her destruction from going any further. You did this with exemplary efficiency. More than I expected, in truth. There were no living exemplars remaining by the time the palace sentinels entered the tunnels. And of course, I did not even expect you to reach the dungeon in time to face her in person. That was impressive, though you will bear some scars as a reward for your speed."
Simonas listened with gathering confusion.
The repositories...
"I will say no more on it. You will ask no further questions. All is as it should be."
For a moment, Simonas wondered if this were a dream, some kind of wish-fulfillment delirium. But then he no longer dreamed.
"As you command," he said weakly.
Valdor leaned closer, inspecting the wounds Simonas had taken. He nodded perfunctorily, apparently satisfied that they would heal.
"There is a certain value to such activities," he said. "The risks are real, yet the rewards are significant. Genuine threats cannot be simulated, though they may be contained. I believe this model should be extended. When you are recovered, I wish you to look into it further for me."
Simonas found this hard to follow.
"Your pardon, Lord,"
he said, wincing as his jaw clicked.
"I am not sure I understand."
"I spoke to the Sigillite," Valdor said. "He is of the belief that our enemies indulge in games. Indeed, it is his judgment that they are bound by such things, which is both a weakness and strength to them. If we are to guard against them, we must do likewise. Generate threats, respond to them. Place our minds in the situation of those who wish to do him harm. Let them in close, accepting the risk in return for the knowledge we gain. The stronger we become here, the more they will wish to bring us low. They have infinite facility. We must work to match that."
As Simonas's mind gradually clarified, he began to see where this was leading.
"War games," he offered.
"Of a kind," said Valdor. "What did the Thunder Warriors used to say when they were sparring? The contest to first blood. That is what we must aspire to, only with this palace, this one body as the prize."
Simonas began to feel lightheaded. He guessed there were powerful neurosuppressors still swimming through his system.
"It shall be done," he said.
Valdor stood straight again.
"Recover swiftly. There is work to be done when you are capable of it."
There was always work to be done.
"As you command," he said again. And then, incongruously, there could be no doubt, Valdor actually smiled. It was not a smile of amusement, nor of scorn, but something like accomplishment, as if a winding road had finally brought its traveller to a long-promised destination.
"You seem to have an affinity for the dungeon," he said. "The labour will be arduous, but the place will not be left as a haunt of Astarte's old meddling. The Emperor has a new purpose in mind for it, one that will make it, in time, the most secure location in the entire galaxy."
He withdrew, and as he did so, Simonas felt his fragile consciousness begin to ebb again. The recovery would be difficult, he could feel already.
"The Imperium is born, the palace is secured," Valdor said. "All it needs now, I believe, is a throne."